God's design for marriage is found in Matthew chapter 19. Jesus said, "At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Welcome to By Design from American Family Radio.
If marriage is by design, which it is, according to the Word of God, then men and women have been designed as well. And today on By Design, we're going to talk about something that I know a little bit about, and that is men. This is Bert Harper, and it's good to be on By Design again. And, you know, we've looked at marriage from several points of view, and you've heard other co-hosts and co-hosts talk about what was going on. But today, I want to really concentrate on man's role, man's character of who he is. That would be the kind of man that he should be in marriage and in the family. So I hope this will bless you. It blessed me as I prepared it, because we are building a legacy. And that legacy, you can talk about it in Psalm 128, and it talks about seeing your children's children. In other words, a generational legacy, not just one that you have for yourself and the immediate family, but it being passed on down. I never got to know my grandmother on my dad's side. She died before I was born. But hearing my mom and my dad both talk about my grandmother and my older siblings talk about her, she was a godly woman, and she left a legacy. She prayed that her sons would become pastors and her grandsons would become pastors, and that prayer has been answered once or two or three or four times, to be honest, that God is working. So we're wanting to talk about the design God has for men. And this is what God desires. This is what we aspire to. We'll never nail it. We'll never get it down perfect. We're always on this pilgrimage or this journey as strugglers. And we struggle to be all that God wants us to be. And so we rely upon Him, and His Holy Spirit living in us makes it possible for us to come to the point where these characteristics are real, although they're not completed in us. One of the characteristics that we find is that you want to be a man of understanding. You really do. If you're going to be the husband, the father, you need to be a man of understanding. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about understanding the times, although that would be good. We are talking about understanding some of the scriptures. I doubt if anybody ever understands all of them. But it says in 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, dwell with your wives with understanding." Now, again, I've been married for quite a while. I still don't know everything that means. But it has become apparent to me that I'm different than my wife in every way. And you are as well. And the Bible completes that in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Giving honor to the wife as a more precious vessel." And most of us men, when we look at our wives, we know which one is the most precious one, and it is our wives. And so we're to live with them in an understanding way. And it also talks about not having your prayers hindered when you do this. So we want to do that. Now, how do you do it? Well, first of all, you understand there's difference between male and female. And the generation that we're living in, when they're trying to cross the gender line and they're trying to identify as something that you feel like today or the year, we need to understand God's design was for male and female. And the difference is there. The difference is easy. Men compartmentalize a lot easier than women do. People try to describe the mind of a woman and the mind of a man, and they say men minds are like waffles. And by the way, ladies, there's a nothing box in that area. The wives will ask a man, "What are you thinking?" And we'll say nothing, and she doesn't understand that. But most of us men, we can just get lost in looking at the road as we're traveling. And someone has described women's minds more like a spider web. Everything is connected. So that is by design. God has done that for us, and it's demonstrated in marriage in a great way. But also personalities are different. Now, people's tried to describe personalities, and I understand that. And, you know, just some people want to say there's two, you know, those that are outward and those that are inward, introverts and extroverts. But I think Gary Smalley did a great job when he related them to animals, when he talked about the animals of a lion, an otter, a golden retriever, and a beaver. Now, again, if you want to know more about that, you can by getting that book that he wrote. But notice that there's not only a difference in male and female, but we're usually different in personalities. Even if the personalities are the same, they're different and they're expressed differently. And that's the way it is. So to live with your wife in understanding is to find out what kind of personality she is, which one is these, and how to help that personality to develop in all that God would have it to be. But also, Dr. Gary Chapman wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. That book and that information has really helped me in my life with my wife, with my children, and now even with my grandchildren. And to know their love language, and it's not your love language that you have to learn, because that's yours. You already know it. It's like any language. You know your language, but you have to learn another language, and that's learning the language of your spouse. Men, learn the language of your wife and understand that she feels loved in that way. I've talked to several people counseling, and they'd say, I love my wife or I love my husband, but the husband and wife of their spouse would say, I don't feel loved. And many, many times, and I would declare most of the time, it's because they're not speaking their love language. So men, be a man of understanding and knowing the difference in not only the gender, male and female. She's different than you because God created her different. She's got a different personality. Even if you take the test and you agree that you're the same one, it's still different just because you're different. And also learn the love language. Men of understanding will do that. Another characteristic that you'll aspire to is man of character. That's what you want to be. You want to be a man of character. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:5, add to your faith virtue. That's translated moral character. You want to be trustworthy with your life, everything about that life. The matter of fact, James chapter 5, verse 16 talks about praying, and every husband that I know that loves the Lord wants to be a man of prayer, to intercede for their wife, intercede for their children. And the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, we're talking about moral character. And when I look at that, I think of actions and attitude. I know you could make it the list longer, but let's just talk about moral attitudes. What about your thought life? The Bible talks about bringing down every stronghold, and a lot of time that's in your thought life. And garbage in, garbage out. That was an old phrase concerning computers, and it's still true in our minds today. So you don't want to feed your mind and your eyes and your ears on garbage. We're talking about filth. We're talking about that which is wasteful. You need to have an attitude of a pure life. Let your life and your thoughts be pure. Philippians 4:8 talks about the things you need to think about. And Philippians 4:8 is one of those verses, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, that which is right, that which is good, and think on those things. So get your mind right thinking about the things of God. And also watch your words. This reveals who you are. The book of James talks about the tongue not anybody can tame. Nobody can, not a man, but the Holy Spirit in you can put a check on your words that you say. Now, again, as men, when we talk to men, we're just straightforward. And sometimes, whether wives, we're not as straightforward, and we can you know, go around the world trying to explain something, or we can just share with them. Ask God to help us with our communication skills. I certainly have to ask for that. It's for me, it's a lot easier speaking to a group of people sometimes than it is than one person. Now, that's weird, but that's kind of who I am, and God called me to preach and speak, but sometimes one-on-one is difficult, and I say, Lord, help me to have my speech that would be clear and would glorify you. But not only in my attitude, but what about my actions, those things I do? Again, these kind of cross over to each other, but what about your business practice? Are they honest? That's your actions. What you view with your eyes, and we talked about the garbage in and making sure that pornography is not a part of your life. And the younger you are, the more you need to check it. The quicker you check it in your life, the better off you are. If you never start it, don't start now. Don't let pornography to be a part of your life and you check it, because God hasn't designed you to have eyes for all women. The Bible says, give me eyes only for our wives. And make that a prayer. Make that a practice, because you want to be a man of character. So add to your faith. The first thing you add to your faith is virtue, moral character. The third thing is knowledge. Now, isn't it important to say that the moral character comes before knowledge? If we just have knowledge, we won't know how to handle it without that moral character. So God wants you and me to be a man of understanding. He also wants to be a man of character, of moral character. He also wants to be a man of love. This is something we aspire to. The Bible makes it plain that we're to love our wives the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, again, we hear those words, and gave himself for her. That was a sacrifice. So when we talk about a man of love, we're talking about a sacrificial love. We're talking about putting someone before ourselves. And that's exactly what happens. The Bible makes it plain in Paul's writings that we are to give of ourselves to our spouse, to our wives. So men, God's design is in marriage is for you to learn to be a servant. That's the whole idea, to serve our wives. And I know it's easier to talk about than to do, but that's what God would desire for us and for us to be a part of that. That means your hobby, whatever it might be, needs to be lined up with a time schedule that your priority is your wife and your children. Your priority is your home. And a lot of people say they want to list those vertically, that it's God and then my wife and then my children and then my job. I found out I didn't operate real well that way. It was just hard to find that exact good lineup. So I started listing the things I do horizontally. In other words, some of the time I'm at work, some of the time I'm at home, some of the time I'm with my children and their activities. But God is Lord of all of those, and we put him first place in all of those, that he'd be glorified, because the Bible makes it plain, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Don't do it half-heartedly. So when you're at church, man, worship. If you're in a small group, participate. Let God have his way and be a man that lets God be seen and observed. And in loving your wife and loving your children, if you do it right, there's going to be some sacrifices. You're going to have to sacrifice, as I said, a hobby, the time frame. It didn't say you completely give it up, but it is secondary. I guarantee you it is secondary to those things. Also, and this is an S too, selfless. We need to be selfless. It's not about us. Now, I know sometimes you have to put yourself first. If you're ever on an airplane, and when the person gets up to explain about the mask dropping from above as something begins to happen, they always add, first, put it on yourself before you try to help others. Now, I have flown with my wife and children and grandchildren. And the first thought comes to me, man, I'd put it on my wife and my children. But the answer is I've got to take care of myself so that I can take care of them. Now, you don't want to be high maintenance on yourself. I hope you're not high maintenance, men, that, man, you got to have it your way. You're in control. You need to be one that is, okay, I can get by on a simple life. I can get by on the plain life. And you say, well, man, I don't know about that. Well, Paul did that. You remember what he said? I have learned to be whatever condition or state that I'm in, to be content. He says, I know how to receive, and I know how to be without. I know how to have plenty, and I really know how to have nothing. And so he said, I have learned to be content. So men, God's designed you to be selfless in that way, that you be content with what God has given you, how he has raised you up, what he has for you, because this love that he has for you is real, and you're to love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. He identified. You know, he could have cried out from heaven, I love you, but no, Jesus at the incarnation took upon flesh and became man. That's unreal. He had to become man so he could deliver man. And that was the love he has for us, and it was a sacrificial love. And so we're to have that kind of love that we would demonstrate toward our wives, toward our children. Now, my wife and I found out concerning loving our children, God blessed us with three sons. And the first son that came along, we loved him, and we didn't think we could love anybody the way we loved him. But guess what? When God gave us the second son, we loved him as much as we loved our first son, but yet it did not diminish our love for him. Now, that's the amazing thing about love. Well, that wasn't good enough, so God gave us a third son, and the same thing was true. So we have this love for them. Now, what happened in that, our resources were diminished that we could spend on each one. That was different. But guess what? God's resources are not limited. So God's resources are available to you. And that's the love he has for us. And then as best we can, we're to demonstrate that love toward our wife, our children. That's God's design. He made us to be that way. He's called us to be that way. So we're to understand our wives, understand our children as best we can. We're to have moral character. We are to demonstrate it with our attitude and our actions that people would see Christ in us. That's our desire. The main people that needs to see Christ in us are those in our home. Yes, it's important at work. Yes, it's important in our activities. But at home, I'm just telling you, that is where it really begins. That's where the rubber really meets the road. So we're to be men of love, and we love our children. We love our wives. The best thing you can do for your children is to love your wife. Let them see your love for her being expressed, men. And so I call upon you to do that and be that man that loves your wife, and there's no doubt about it. Everybody would know, man, that man loves his wife. Do you see how he treats her? Do you see how he responds to her? Let's aspire to be a man like that. But fourthly, we need to be a man of responsibility. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. We've been given much, being saved, walking with the Lord. What an opportunity, but what a responsibility. We've also been given a marriage. We've been given a family, and what a responsibility. And 1 Timothy 5:8 makes it plain, he that cares not for his own is worse than a pagan. Wow, we are called to a high responsibility, aren't we? We're called to be that responsible parent. We're called on to be that responsible husband, and to be careful how we react and how we respond. Now, this is expressed, I think, at least in three ways that we are take care of our loved ones. First is provision. We need to be men of character that works. Men that of understanding and understanding we need to work. So we need to be responsible in our jobs. Balancing your job and balancing your home life, it will always be difficult. That's why we need the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to that we can know this balance that God has placed upon our shoulders. When you look at the Bible, you'll find out that many, if not most, of the people were agrarian. They made their living tilling the fields, keeping the sheep or the cattle. And I was raised on a farm. And so I spent hours with my dad just because of being on a farm, hauling hay, corn, picking cotton, just doing all, taking care of the animals. And it was easier in a way to carry out Deuteronomy chapter 6 when it says, talk to your children as you go, you know, as you're walking by the way. It was easier because we just did it all the time. And in our society today, we've got to be pretty creative. We don't just go to the store by ourselves, although it'd be a lot easier, but we may need to take along that two-year-old to be a part of that and spend time with them. We made to do those things and be men of responsibility as we provide for them. Yes, our work ethic is so important. That needs to be seen by our children as we're men that are designed to work. Work is not a part of the curse. Adam was the caregiver in the garden before the fall, and work was pleasurable. And I want to just tell you, if you're right with God, the Spirit of God living in you, and you find God's calling in your life, that work that God's given you can be pleasurable. It can be fulfilling. And so be a man that provides as best you can. It doesn't mean you have money to blow, but it does mean that you're doing your best to provide for your wife and your children, whatever that meets, with your wife working or not working, part-time job or whatever it is, but be a man of responsibility in provision, but also in protection. God's called the man to be the protector. I love the issue of David when he was going to go fight Goliath, and they said, man, you're too small, you're too little. And he said, no, God's placed me as a shepherd, and I've had to face down a bear, I've had to face down a lion, and God gave me the victory in both of those. God can give you the victory in protecting your children and protecting your wife. It may be from an animal. I understand that. It may be from predators. We understand that because of the predatory nature that's going on in our world today through communication and all the things that are there. So you need to put up those protections for them. You need to protect them in your own life and have those boundaries set that does make a difference. And then you also need to be a protector and responsible with your participation in the family. Not everything's left up to your wife. Just because you go and you work and you come home, after you come home, it's not time to rest and do nothing. It's time to do probably the most important job you have, loving your wife and raising your children. God has called us to be men of responsibility. That is His requirement. That is His design. And then the fifth characteristic that we're to aspire to is to be a man of faith. We want our faith to be worked out in our lives. The Bible says, work out your salvation. That's not working on your salvation, but let what God has done in you be seen. We're His workmanship, created unto Christ Jesus, and that we're to be that man of faith. Proverbs, I think, 3:5-6 illustrate that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, when we're men of faith, there's three things that will be a part of our life. One is dedication. We will completely come to our point in our life where we dedicate our lives to Him. In a way, I've tried to find a word that fits, and it's surrender. We surrender to God's ways, not our way, but God's way. Jesus said, I came not to do my thing. I came to do your thing, O Lord, your will. And so that's what we're to do, to have this dedication to please the Lord, that we live our lives in full openness toward Him, that He can have us anytime, anywhere, doing anything, and say, Lord, I'm available for you. Have you dedicated your life to the Lord? Has there been a time in your life when you have asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of your life? Notice this word in Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord. It means to completely roll over on Him. Your complete dependence is upon Him, and you declare that and you live that, and you let Him be Lord of your life. But not only dedication, but determination. You know, we're weak-willed a lot of times. We'll fluctuate. We wander. There's an old song, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love. That's who we are as humans. So we've got to do what Daniel did early on in his life. He purposed in his heart that he would live for God. That means two things, a positive and a negative. It means that I do not do certain things, and it means I do these things. Paul struggled with that. He said, those things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. Those things I want to do, I find myself not doing. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can have this determination, that we're determined to let God have His way in our lives. We're determined to finish well. You know, I want to finish well. I want to start my life, as we talked about it in the legacy in Psalm 128, that we would see our children's children as they would seek the Lord. We don't want a generational slide starting from, oh, I serve the Lord, but now they're not. No, I want to serve God now and the rest of my life. And then when that happens, He gives us direction. Men of faith have direction. It's always toward God. Now, we may meander a little bit. You know, I found out life is not always straight line. I also find out that it's not always going upward. Sometimes we have dips. So we have these curves and we have these valleys in our lives. But the secret is going in the right direction. We're going in His direction. That's what it says in Proverbs 3:5-6. And He will direct our paths. As we walk, He will direct us. He'll show us. I can't help but think about Paul on his missionary journey. When he got to the point, the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go any further. And then God says, sent a man and says, come on over here. You know, we need to be that kind of man, a man of understanding, of character, of love, responsibility, and faith. That's by God's design. And with His help, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be that kind of man in your marriage and in your family. Let God have His way in your life. That's God's design for you as you fulfill His purpose in your life. May God bless you, and may you let the God who has created you and redeemed you direct you in all your ways. Thank you for listening for By Design.